Welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. I am Tom Rainer. I'm usually joined by Sam Rainer, and therefore we often call it Rainers on Leadership. But one of the Rainers is out for three episodes, and we are ably substituted by Kevin Spratt, Vice President of Church Answers. And Kevin, we've interacted on webinars. We've interacted pre-roll on podcasts, post-roll on podcasts. But I think this is, you've jumped in a few times on podcasts, but this is kind of your debut. Just want to know if you're nervous. How are you feeling, Kevin?
I feel pretty good. I've had a good breakfast. I went for a run today. I'm good.
Okay. Well, we're glad that you're here. I miss, what? Sam.
Yeah.
I miss Sam. But we typically record episodes three at a time. So when he's out one time, it'll be for three times, but he'll be back. But Kevin is here. We're going to be talking about why church leaders have an incredible window of opportunity. Before we get there, we'll thank Southeastern Seminary. Their mission is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church. And this phrase here says it all: fulfill the Great Commission. They have over 40 different degree programs, and there's one in partnership with us, the 37-hour Master of Arts in Church Revitalization, us being Church Answers and Revitalize Network. Also, get their free Church Future Indicator. If you haven't done it already, download it. It's for free. It'll help you know. One of the questions that Southeastern asks is, where are you going? Well, that Church Future Indicator will say, or at least attempt to answer according to your response, is, where is the church going? We're going to talk about windows of opportunity, Kevin. Windows of opportunity often refer to when things happen, and the thing that has been happening is what everybody knows about. And you and I have had many discussions where we're not talking about COVID or post-COVID nearly as much. It's just kind of burnout on that topic. But the reality of it is we're dealing with a lot of pastors right now coaching at Church Answer Central who are asking the question, okay, how can I walk through this open door to change the metaphor? How can I open this window of opportunity?
Yeah, and I think to understand what listeners need to understand too is that changes will continue to happen, right? And the opportunities are vast. Everything from how do you rethink life groups or small groups or Sunday school, whatever you might be, you know, whatever you might call that, to think about how are you going to do worship services differently. Incorporating online experiences, because those are going to continue to be commonplace. I think changes have come, and they're going to be lasting changes as we continue to walk through what does a new world look like. I think the webinar that we did, the blank slate, it really is a blank slate. It's an opportunity to reset, and it's an opportunity to really take stock and evaluate. What do we need to keep coming back? What have people not participated in and maybe forgotten about, or just realized that's just not important anymore?
Yeah. Well, we'll be talking a lot in the future about helping change last, to make sure that change is rooted in culture is another way of saying it. But now we want to talk about just walking through this incredible window of opportunity. You noted this, and it's our first point. Change has been constant during the pandemic. You noted community groups or Sunday school classes or life groups. You noted worship services. Anything else that you're seeing on there about what the change has been?
Yeah, I think you've got changes in giving practice. You're going to have changes in kids ministry. I think you're going to have.
Well, that's a big question, by the way. This kids ministry. What do we do about the kids? We're not going to answer that here, but it's a big question.
Yeah, it's a really big question. At our location here in Lexington, I still serve in a part-time capacity at Emmanuel Baptist in Lexington, and
that's Kentucky folks, not Massachusetts.
Yes, Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky, go Big Blue. We actually host the Christian school, Lexington Christian Academy, here in Lexington, and you know, we're somewhat following their lead on what some of their stipulations are going to be, and realize that we really can't do a whole lot until the governor says it's okay to start meeting in schools. And you know, it would be tone deaf if we just went ahead and said, hey, you can gather now, we're going to go ahead and have children's ministry when schools aren't even open right now.
That's true.
And so just trying to navigate what those changes would be. We got a 17-page document. We got our hands on a 17-page document to schools in the area, just saying, hey, here's some considerations. One of them on there is, please don't share. And I'm looking at that going, how do you ask a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old not to share their toys? And so
it's probably been in their mouth anyway.
Exactly. And so, you know, you're kind of sitting back wondering, all right, okay, I understand the reasoning behind it, right? We're trying not to share germs. So I'm absolutely want to be sensitive to that, but what becomes the implications of that? And how do we manage, classroom space and cleanliness and, you know, even just turnover. I mean, the groups that come in for us in what is our Sunday school hours, because we still have traditional Sunday school here. What do we do? Because we've got essentially 3 hours of programming where kids are coming in and out. And so we've got to think through different change processes of leaders coming in and out, kids coming in and out, and drop off is going to change and all those kinds of things. So, what was it was said that, necessity is the mother of all invention. And so we're going to have to think through some things very strategically on how to manage all those things.
And we're talking about this, not just as a challenge, but also as an opportunity, because as you're making these changes, these are changes that you can make for the better in the midst of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, we've had conversations just around programming looking different, using different portions of our building and even expanding our children's ministry from that perspective, and giving kids some different opportunities, even incorporating family worship and looking at what that would look like for our church. So we've sensed a need for that, and it could be a great opportunity for us to really introduce that to the church at large. And I think it's something that families have been asking for, and now we have a real opportunity to introduce and say, we need to do this different. And so this is our solution to doing
things. You have worked with Jess Rayner. Jess is my pastor in the Nashville area. And I responded to a survey he sent to church members yesterday, and basically is saying we're going to have to change some things. And now here's part of their deal. They're moving into a new building. When they come back, they purchased a building, industrial building, and they have retrofitted it for worship and for classroom space and all of that. So they're coming into a new building, and he thought it would be helpful if they went to two services right away because of the capacity of their now reconfigured worship center. He's not going to have to sell it. You know,
right.
We're going to two worship services. We got to.
Right. Exactly. And I think multiplication is going to be a huge opportunity. More opportunities, whether that's on the weekend or through the week, is a huge opportunity for people to gather together. And I think it was you, Dr. Rayner, and I didn't realize this, who said that, was it 30% of Americans, regardless of your economic or social demographic, work on the weekends?
And at any one time. One third of America is working during the worship hour at any one time.
So what a great opportunity to expand your offerings and to expand your worship times through the week to be able to accommodate that and not to have a convincing case.
When he did the survey of, when would you, if we had a second worship service, when would you attend or like to attend? Number one, as you would expect, was Sunday morning, a second Sunday morning. Number two was Sunday night. Of course, he didn't have a Sunday night worship, so they said, okay, if we don't come on Sunday night, Sunday morning, we'll come on Sunday night. Number three was Thursday night, which we're seeing grow and grow because it's connected often to a holiday weekend. It's a good time to have it. So.
Right.
Fascinating. Let's go to number two here. The second point, your church members have been exposed to a variety of churches. Oh my gosh. I don't know what your Facebook feed looks like, but it is one preacher after, and some of them are just naturally funny. I mean, that is not a condescending comment. They're just funny. I was watching one and I couldn't hear him until I clicked on, and I wanted to make sure I didn't click on while I was live. So I waited a little while and went back and watched the replay, and because he was making some weird expressions, and he was saying things like, I can't get this dang thing turned on. Does anybody know where this button is? And That was his Sunday morning worship service. And I think it was a bit more humorous than just ignorant of the reality, but it's funny. And then they've been exposed to different worship styles. They've been exposed to different types of preaching, length, and the list goes on and on and on. I'd love for you and Amy J to listen, if I'm not presuming that you have, but West Bradenton, which is an established neighborhood church, introduced a rapper.
There you go.
In the worship service. But I want to tell you, it was really, really good. It's supposed to be a well-known rapper. Don't ask me the name.
I was going to ask, do you remember the name of the rapper?
No, I do not remember the name of the rapper. But integrated in a song with Heather Richmond. And then there was a well-known guitarist that I have no idea who it is. But, man, they integrated it so well. And just to think that if someone had told West Bradenton, established neighborhood church, they were going to have a rapper in the worship service, you know, they would have said, Sam, where's your next church? But I think it went over well. So,
well, yeah. And I think, you know, everybody's being exposed to a lot of different churches. And so, I mean, there's another window of opportunity, right, to go through and say, hey, here's some great new ideas. Here's some things that everybody's trying. And to see everybody's recorded worship service, I mean, I'm sure there's been something here at Emmanuel that we have either copied or tried to emulate from other services that we've seen from everybody. So everybody's a televangelist these days and has the ability to broadcast their message, which is great, right? Because on Sundays you're seeing the gospel go out in multiple feeds across the world in Facebook. But what a great opportunity also to just glean to see what other churches are doing, see what works and what doesn't work. And I really think those churches that are really breaking out online are those who are being genuine to themselves. I mean, it might be funny to say, hey, what button do I need to push? But it's also very genuine on a webinar to go, hey, my landline's ringing. And
oh, come on. You don't bring that issue up.
We're just going to push right through it.
That got more comments than probably any one thing I've done speaking. My landline was ringing. And it happened again. In a webinar.
It did.
Yes, there's a little more distance. I just told him go and ignore it because I knew if I took it off the hook, you'd start hearing beep, beep, beep. So I didn't even try this time. And someone said, I recognize that ring. That's not a landline. And it's really not. I mean, it's connect to our internet.
So right.
What do you call those things?
Voice over IP.
Yeah, VoIP, something like that. So that's someone recognized it wasn't a traditional landline. So your church members have been exposed to a variety of churches. It's an opportunity to say, okay, in the midst of this, what kind of changes do we need to make? The third one on here, I like this one. Church members likely have a new sense of what really matters. They have missed the gathered worship. They have missed their fellow church members. Many have missed ministry that they have in the community. And it's given them a pause, just like most of us have paused and said, you know, this breather, if you will, which is probably a terrible choice of words, but this break that we've had during the pandemic, it's helped our family to know what really matters. Church members are saying, maybe these things that we thought were so critical aren't really so important anymore, and we can focus on the majors instead of majoring on the minors.
Yeah, absolutely. And my wife and I are part of a marriage group that we're leading here at our church. And we were supposed to be meeting on Sunday nights, and we've had to move all those digital and online. And one of the couples, the wife mentioned, she said, I'm just tired of doing church this way. She said, I know this isn't the way that church was meant to be done, is online and virtual. And it's a short-term group, and we've talked about those closed groups being more online and that kind of thing. But there is that aspect of missing that fellowship. And another group that I help lead is our college group where we met last night, and they're all very anxious, you know, not anxious in a bad way. They're eager, I guess is the better word, to really get together and hang out and just have community. And so, I think, you know, some of the typical things that we have done in the church life where, you know, for a pastor or leader, it might've been a little bit of a drag. That's your opportunity to not do those things anymore and say, hey, let's just get back to the basics. Let's keep the basics. Let's be very selective about what we're going to reintroduce to people. And, you know, for a church that's been heavy and weighty in programmatic type things, and there's something going on every night, this is an opportunity to just to reevaluate, did those things really serve the purposes that they needed to?
Many of our Western churches, activity driven churches, and basically if we think that there's a vacant hour and it's before 10 o'clock at night and after 7 o'clock in the morning, we're going to fill those hours in the church. That's an exaggeration. I'm speaking hyperbole, but this is an opportunity to say, do we really need to ask people to keep gathering all the time? Right. Certainly there are one or at least two key moments to gather, the ongoing groups, certainly the opportunity to come to a gathered worship, but do all of these other things have to require gathering, and, or do we have to do them? I mean, that's even a bigger right. question. And I remember many, many years ago when Eric Geiger and I wrote Simple Church, it resonated so much, not because of the thesis that you should have a vision statement that moves you through a process of discipleship. It resonated because of the last part of it, which was focus. Hey, we need to do less. We just need right. to do less.
Right, because activity doesn't mean productivity, right? You could be doing a bunch of things all the time, and it doesn't necessarily bring meaning or value to your organization or to even your ministry on a regular basis.
This fourth point is true for so many. And, you know, Kevin, I look at the leaders that we minister, whom we minister at Church Answers. We've got our immediate community of, we have this community of a little over 2,000 members that's a part of Church Answers, incredible community. We have a very small community of 27, I believe, that we call Church Answers Platinum, that we'll have an opening every now and then. We'll bring someone in for some really focused attention for a while. But what we're hearing consistently is I've had to learn how to lead in ways I could not even imagine before all of this happened. And many of these leaders, many of these pastors are going to come out on the other side, and they're going to say, I am a better leader because of what I've gone through.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've had to make our own pivots, even just as a small organization that we're in. And
you're talking Church Answers?
Church Answers, yeah.
Oh, man, did we make pivots. We had a meeting and said, things have changed. What are we going to do? And you could sense that we were not decelerating our vehicle, that we were just slamming on the brakes. And we made the sharp left turn or right turn, whatever you want to say. And all of a sudden, we're a different organization.
That's right. And you know, working through those changes, understanding your people, I mean, it's forced, I feel like it's forced even me to have, even since I'm even newer to the team, to be on regular checkups with Amy and with Jana and Brian and just say, hey, how are you doing? And engaging their temperature on things, you know, making sure to really look for their input on decisions that we're making. I think everybody's understood the decisions, but giving them an opportunity to process, and it's been good, at least for me, to get to know the team better. And, you know, just the point of leading through change better is bringing those people alongside of you and helping them see
that. I heard a rumor that ever since you came on board at Church Answers, the change has been so fast that it's killing our team. I've heard that rumor. Now that's correlation, not necessarily causation, but it makes me wonder. You're on the team, all of a sudden we're doing a consolidated website. You're on the team and we're looking at new ID configurations, all kind of back-end changes, front-end changes. I like change, but I think you're destroying us, Kevin. I just really do.
You know, I am the president of the Tom Rainer Make-A-Wish Foundation. I've been trying to look for a way to work that in today, and you made several wishes to me. I have that email where you said, these are your prerogatives, Kevin, and I've just been trying to reach those.
Believe me, we are a healthier organization. And I didn't even mention this. Some of the partnerships that we have brought on, some that we'll be announcing on a major scale in August, but others as well during this time. If we were not pivoting, we may not have seen some of these opportunities to even look for them.
That's right. And I think, you know, there's so many dynamics. There's so many brain muscles that have been that leaders are going to that have had to leaders have had to exercise during this time. So, you know, trying to understand their people, trying to understand what's going on in the economy, trying to understand what's going on in the government, trying to understand just what's going on emotionally with people through all the change, because everybody's experiencing the change. I mean, yes. I can't think of very many things. You know, I think you made this point. You know, if you're a Floridian and you've experienced a hurricane, then that's a common trait everybody can carry along with them and experience together, right? But that's really localized to a region and to a specific area. But this is so worldwide, widespread that, you know, everybody's experiencing this together. And I think there's a sense of unity that can come through that. And so everybody realizes that they've got to change and move forward and change so people can handle change better. And I think at the same time, people are going, huh, I really can take on and absorb a lot more than I originally initially thought I could.
So. Which we have, which you have, which Amy has, which Jenna has, which Brian has, which the whole team has, and more ways than one. Well, this is an open window opportunity. It's an incredible window of opportunity. Don't look at this just as something that you've had to go through because of the pandemic. Look at it as an opportunity to do things better, differently, and better. And we'll continue to talk about this. Again, we're getting away from the COVID language and the post-COVID language. It's just been mentioned it so many times, but we are talking about change. We're talking about also making change more a part of the culture. We'll be talking about those issues too. But thank you for being a part of Rainer on Leadership. Thank you, Kevin. Sam will be back in two or three more episodes, but Kevin is going to ably continue to be our co-host. Always thank you, Southeastern Seminary, for being our sponsor. And don't forget the Church Future Indicator. Always thank you for joining us at Rainer on Leadership. Subscribe wherever you are, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. Give us a rating and review. And come see us at churchanswers.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.